Hagar, the servant of Abraham's wife, Sarah, was being mistreated by Sarah because she had taken in and had a child named Ishmael, and she had not yet gotten pregnant with Isaac. And then she fled from the face of her master or her mistress and ran to the wilderness. And she began to cry. In fact, she was so depressed about her situation that she left the child to die somewhere else and was crying. She just wanted the child to die. And the Bible says, and God heard the voice of the child. And the angel came to her and said, let me give another spiritual example. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 6. But whenever I read that scripture, when it says God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, it causes me to think, the Bible did not say God who commanded the light to shine out of heaven. Look at it on the screen. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that means inside the darkness there was light. But it was God that commanded it to come out. Inside the darkness there was light. Can you say after me in the name of Jesus? Heavenly Father, open my eyes to see what you are doing. And by your power, I command light to shine out of every darkness. Glory. Put yourself in the shoes of Joseph. You had a dream. You were on your own. It's not like you were ambitious. You were on your own. God showed you that this is what you will be. And you will think that immediately after God has shown you what it will be, the next string of events will begin to manifest what God has shown you. Are you with me? And then, from that moment for the next 17 years, your life is the opposite of what you saw. Sorry, from that moment for the next 13 years, Joseph was 17. Being 17 years, he had this dream. God showed him how that he saw the sun, moon, and star bowing down to him, the 11 sheaves and all of that. And he believed that, oh, there's a royal destiny for me. But from then, in fact, as he started talking about it, the opposite started happening. From then, he was sold as a slave by his brothers. Imagine having that kind of dream. And the next few weeks after, you were sold as a slave. You'd be wondering, what is happening? Put yourself in that shoe. Just imagine you slept tonight and you had a dream that the president called you and gave you a supernatural appointment, a national appointment. You just saw yourself in this grandiose, like, wow, is this me? Then all of a sudden, somebody gets missing in your compound. They now say it's you. It's you that stole it. I'm not the one. They say it's you. They arrested you and take you to the police station. And then you're at the police station. You're just asking yourself, what happened? What is going on? Are you following me? But guess what? All along, that was the work of God to bring him to his destiny. All along, it was the work of God. Hey! So after me, I believe in the hand of God over my life. So every time he looked like he was going down, in actual sense, he was going forward. In actual sense, he was going forward to the pit, then to Potiphar's house, then from Potiphar's house to a bigger prison. Now, he just said, now it's concluded, my own is not good. Truly, my own is not good. Maybe he must have woken up the next year saying, okay, Lord, the last 2 years I've been suffering. This year is my year. That third year, it did not work for him. The fourth year did not work for him. The fifth year, what is happening? Is it that It's just becoming worse and worse and worse. But listen, God is faithful. Can you say, I judge God faithful? Amen. You see, when you understand this here, you will now know that what you are facing in life is not the issue. The issue, see, whatever is happening is not the most important thing. The most important thing is, am I in step with God? Because if you are in step with God, you will discover that there is a grand design that is weaving out. By the time he was in the prison that Potiphar sent him to, he did not know that same place. Are you getting this? That same place where he was a prisoner, that was the place of his lifting. Do you remember that it was the person he spoke to? Remember me when you get to Pharaoh's palace. That was the person that referred him. Have you forgotten? Oh, I hope you have not forgotten the Bible story. No, there's a story of Joseph in the Bible. He was a son of a man called Jacob. Praise the Lord. And then he had a dream that God, he will be, do great things. And then instead of that to happen, he became a slave, went to Egypt. And then Potiphar's wife accused him. And then he was sent to the prison where Pharaoh keeps his prisoners. So in that place, where it looked like he was in his worst state, that was the place of destiny. Ah! Are you getting this? Can you say that I'm a child of destiny? We are a people of destiny. Say it again. We are people of destiny. When you understand this, you will not compare yourself to other people. Yes, you will not compare yourself to other people. He may have been looking at his other brothers. Say, these guys are enjoying in my father's house. By now, they have married. I'm still here. Are you getting this? They have had their children. I'm still here. They have started building their tents. I'm still here. Not knowing that he was their deliverer. Ah. He was their deliverer in making. You don't know how much God has planned for you. You know, the worst thing you cannot do is to opt out of that process. And say, no, I have to find, no. Some people will go and make babalawo. Are you getting it? Some people will go and put their hands in. I wanted to say something, but not on this stage. In Jesus' name. You go and put the hand in what God did not send them. And by the time you stand before God and you see the big picture, you're like, oh, I just wish. Sometimes I'm a child of destiny. Praise the Lord. There's so much on my heart in that regard. Well, I have to teach something today. There's something boiling in my spirit on our emphasis this month. Are we ready? Praise God. You didn't tell me, I was just flowing. Hey, God, oh. You have to tell me, because the word of God in my mouth. People will stay with me. If you want to hear some sermon excerpts, just come and walk with me. As we are walking, I'll say, have you checked this verse? I was started teaching. Praise the Lord. So the teaching series for this month, like I said, is a journey in the gospel of Christ. It is a story about man's tragedy and God's remedy. Man sinned against God and was condemned to die eternally, but God stepped in and rescued man. Hallelujah. But you see, you will never really appreciate the weight of the gospel, of this gospel, until you understand it. That's why I said on last week that we preach the gospel to sinners, but we teach the gospel to believers. You have to keep on understanding the gospel to believe it, to grow in it, and to walk in the light of it. Are you with me? Amen. So we began by saying, why must we be gospel-centric? That was 2 Sundays ago. And then we emphasized that Jesus is the Son of God. That was the first thing God wants us to believe. Then we talked about the new covenant that brought us into oneness with Christ. Amen. But today, we're going to go deeper. But before I go there, were you blessed on Sunday? Ah, glory to God. Sometimes I'm a child of the covenant.
I'm a proof of the covenant. Praise the Lord. You know, have you seen that verse? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. The Bible says, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For God had made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin. How did Christ become sin? It was by the new covenant. By becoming one with us, that was how he became sin. Are you getting this? The plan was that when he becomes one with us, he takes our place in sin. And now, because we are together, when he becomes righteousness, we are now his righteousness. You see that? But today we are going into something I've titled Agnus Dei. The word Agnus is a Latin word for lamb. And the word Dei is a Latin word for God. When I saw Dei, when I was studying it, I almost burst into laughter. I say, this one, I hope it's not Dei Dei. Actually, it's the same spell, you know. But Abuja is not Latin. They don't speak Latin here. So, Agnus is a Latin word for lamb, and the word Dei is a Latin word for God. Actually, that Dei is the root word where you have deity. Are you with me? Yeah. So, the word Agnus also means pure, innocent, holy. And we're going to come back to that. Very important. So that means the word Agnus Dei means Lamb of God. Can you say after me, Lamb of God? We have to be fast today. The light drama took some of our time. Can you say with me, Lamb of God? Now, someone who has not heard that term before may be wondering, how does Lamb of God, or how does a lamb have to do with the gospel? What concerns animal? What's the business of an animal with the gospel of Jesus Christ? But well, you're going to find out that that Lamb of God, or that lamb, has everything to do with the gospel. It has everything. First of all, the Bible makes us know that God is the beginning and the ending. It's the Alpha and Omega, right? He declares the end of a thing from the beginning. So when you see a verse like Revelation chapter 13 from verse 8, Revelation 13 verse 8, he says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Actually, these people were not saved. He says, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. What do you make of this? Look at that. He's saying that there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know, I felt like asking God, if a lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, when was the lamb created that will be slain? Are you getting me? But you see, this is God telling us that before the world even began, Christ has always been the plan. Can you say after me? Christ has always been the plan. Christ was always God's plan for man's redemption and salvation. There are some questions we will have that, okay, what if man did not sin? Will men still need Christ? Yes. Listen to me. What if man did not sin? Will men still need Christ? Yes. As you can see, Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Also, the Bible shows us that God spake in time past with types and shadows. Please follow me. Tell anybody, this is Bible study. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. Hebrews 1 from verse 1. Hebrews 1 from verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now look at, just stay with verse 1. What I want you to see here. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners. So look at that conjunction. Sundry times and diverse manners. So that means, even at different portions of time, and in different unspoken ways, God was talking. Has something ever happened before and you're like, God works in mysterious ways? You know, something happened today. when I was coming in for the service, I just discovered that I was not with my phone. Listen, I was not with my phone. Asked my wife, I reached my phone. She said, she checked her bag, said, no, it's not there. I said, okay, let me go and get it. Only to go and get it and discover that the back window of my car was down. As I got there like this, the first thing I just said was, God works in mysterious ways. Now, maybe I could have said, why didn't you carry the phone? But God works in mysterious ways. So look at what we are seeing. That in diverse times, different times, and in strange or diverse manners. Have I taught Christology in Abuja before? Have we done Bible Illumina Christology in Abuja before? Okay, okay. We have to plan for that one. Where we are going to see, show Christ in the Old Testament. Study the whole Old Testament and see Christ there. But well, we're making progress. So, what I'm trying to say is that, when you read the Old Testament, when you read what the prophets were saying, even the stories that happened, even the events that took place, to them, they were living out their normal life. Are you with me? To them, they were doing their own stuff. They were just living out their life, following their own God, Jehovah. Are you with me? But they did not know that they were actually preaching a message of God. They did not know that there was something God was saying through their times and through their lives. Are you with me? Okay. So now, we're going to briefly look at the Old Testament. How did God preach salvation in the Old Testament through a lamb? Number one, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they became naked, or the shame of their nakedness was exposed, what did God do? The Bible says, He killed a lamb. God, though, killed a lamb, removed the skin, and covered the shame of their nakedness. What does that tell you? It means by this slain lamb, we have our nakedness covered. Are you with me? So that means in that act alone, there was a preaching done. Are you getting this? God was announcing that by the lamb, by the shedding of blood of this lamb, by the sacrifice of this lamb, the sins of mankind, the shame of their sinfulness and nakedness will be covered. Also, remember the story of Cain and Abel. That one is a very profound one. Because, you know, I've taught it here many times before. Have you ever asked yourself, why was Cain angry? People said Cain brought rotten yams. And I've said it before, if Cain actually brought rotten yams to God, he would have said, I know, my own no good. I did not do well. Are you getting this? But no, Cain brought off his own farm. He believed that what he brought was enough to impress God. Are you getting this? He was sure that it's just like when you are sure you wrote the right thing in the exam and you scored 10 over 100. Sir, what happened? Are you getting this? But you see, there was an approved way. And that was what God was showing, that it is by the lamb, the slain lamb, that will receive acceptance. Mm. Abel was accepted because of his offering of that lamb. Cain was rejected because he did not come through that lamb. So God was preaching that by the slain lamb, all men will be accepted by God. That is how men will become accepted by God. Are you following this? Also, you remember the story of Abraham. Now, that's a classic one. So God told Abraham, this son that I gave you, Isaac, he says, sacrifice your son, thy only son. And then Abraham said, yes. And that morning, they woke up. Abraham woke the boy up. Abraham arranged the wood. Abraham arranged whatever he would use to prepare the fire. Abraham arranged the very fine dagger. Are you with me? And as they were going to the place of the sacrifice, the boy is used to how sacrifice is being done. He says, Dad, we forgot something.
We did not, you carried the wood. You carried the knife. You carried the fuel. You carried the lighter. You carried the matches. But where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb that we are going to use to sacrifice to God? And Abraham, now to Abraham, he was just answering a question. But he did not know he was preaching the mind of God. He said, God will provide for himself a lamb. Are you getting this? So you see, in those times, in types and shadows, God was preaching a message. And by the time Abraham got there, by the time he wanted to kill the boy and offer him as a sacrifice, the Lord said, stop! Look into the thickets. Look into the bush. There is a ram caught there. And then he went and got it and sacrificed unto God. Do you know what that means? It means Isaac must have been going back home saying, so I will just die. So that's how it would have gone. Hey! You know, every time I think about that story, there is a part of that story that I've not heard anybody talk about. I've only heard my Bible school teacher many, many years ago. I'm talking about almost 20 years ago, talk about it. Have you ever wondered, what did Abraham teach Isaac that Isaac willingly allowed him to be tied? What kind of faith was impacted to Isaac? Because you tell a 12-year-old boy, lie down. I want to sacrifice you. Eh? It's better than loss in the ticket. Than to allow you. You are coming with the knife. You know, the Bible actually says that Abraham offered Isaac unto God, accounting that God was able to raise him up. I'm sure Abraham must have told the boy, don't worry. If God said I should give you up, he will raise you up. Hey, he will raise you up. And the Bible actually says in the book of Hebrews that God did it in a figure. It was a picture of Christ being raised from the grave. Are you getting this? Well, back to what Isaac would have been thinking about. So that's how I would have died today. But then, just at the nick of when he was going to die, God provided a substitute. You see, that's a picture of how all men, we are deserving of death, but the substitute was made for us. Are you getting this? And then, you know, when Israel was in Egypt, and the final plague that God did, or the final sign that God did to set them free, God told them, today or tonight, the angel of death will pass over. We'll go over the land of Egypt. Are you getting this? The angel of death will go over the land of Egypt and slay all the firstborns. You know why I like this one? This one is it. This one is prophetic, not just about the sacrifice of Christ, but the coming judgment. Are you following me? Tell your neighbor, don't be bored, it's Bible study. God saved Israel from death, from the death of their children, by the blood of the Lamb. Have you ever asked yourself, why did God tell them to put the blood on their lintels? Couldn't he have instructed the angel, don't go to Goshen, that's where the Israelites are. Because let me tell you, the judgment is going to come for everybody. Are you getting this? The judgment will come for everybody. And it will not even be by your tribe. Ah, even though Israel were God's people, it's not just by tribalism or by your tribe. It is by who has put faith in the blood. Hey, it is by who has put faith in the blood that will be saved. Guess what? I believe there were some Egyptians who were there who must have heard. Word has gone. Say, you don't hear? Have you heard? The Israelites are putting blood on their lintel. They said that tonight, an angel is going to pass by and kill all the firstborn and kill children. Say, the things that I've been saying before have been happening, you know. I beg, find lamb, quick. They must have joined them, put blood on their lintel and those Egyptians will be saved. The angel will not come and be checking, are you Egyptian? Hey, who is there? Are you Egyptian? Or are you Israelite? No. They will not check your accent already. That's already salvation without works. They were not checking how good, well-behaved the people were. Are you getting this? They were checking who has the blood on their lintel. Actually, that is where the word Passover came from. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Are you getting this? When I see the blood on the lintel, I will pass over. So that means by the blood of the lamb, judgment has passed over us. Are you with me? Meaning by the blood of this lamb, we've escaped the judgment. Some of them have escaped judgment by the blood of the lamb. Then there's one called the sin offering. You see it in Leviticus chapter 9 from verse 2. Because of time, I won't read everything. I'll just read verse 2. I was supposed to read to verse 7. But Leviticus. Chapter 9 from verse 2.
Okay. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish. Now, take note of that word, without blemish. Are you seeing that word there? That's also a message, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. Verse 3. And unto the children of Israel, thou shalt speak, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Why am I reading this? So, there is usually what they call the Day of Atonement. Every year in Israel, it's like a day where we come to atone for our sins and secure the year. So they bring a spotless lamb or calf, whatever the case. But this emphasis here, the emphasis of this verse here is without blemish. Without spot or anything, symbolizing that it must be innocent and pure. Remember, another word for Agnos is called pure, right? And then this lamb will be sacrificed for the people. And the blood of that lamb will sprinkle over the people. And the prophet or the priest, will say, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, he will be gracious unto you, and people will shout Yeshua and rejoice. They are going back home knowing that for the next 1 year, our sins have been covered. They are going back home knowing that for the next 1 year, all our battles will be won. They are going back home knowing that for the next 1 year, no enemy camp can infiltrate Israel. Are you with me? This was another picture of the blood speaking over them. Are you with me? As a sin offering. So, if their sins were covered, everything else was covered. Glory. Okay. But there are some that is not popular. Some are not popular. For instance, Rahab was saved by a scarlet rope. When God sent Israel to take over Jericho, by the time Caleb and Joshua went as spies into Jericho, there was a woman that helped them from being caught. Her name was Rahab. She said, we have heard of the God of Israel and our hearts are trembling already. You know what I'm going to do? I will protect you, but please, I know that God has given you this land, though. When you are coming, don't destroy my family. Don't destroy us. Please. We are going to stay here. Come and find us. They said, when we are coming, we are coming. We will not be able to locate anywhere. They said, okay, this is what they're going to do. They gave her a scarlet rope. You know, this is what I was saying. Even in the things that look like you can't connect it, God was actually preaching. Of all the things for them to find, it was a scarlet rope. And the Bible put it there that they gave her a scarlet rope, a scarlet thread to put on her window. That when they come in and see the scarlet thread, they know that everyone in that house are Rahab's people. Are you getting this? And so Rahab will be saved because of the scarlet thread. Not just because that she protected the spies,
But because of the scarlet thread, hey, guess what? Scarlet is another word for blood. So that means, even in a figure, even when they just found, let's find something and just give to her, they were preaching the gospel that it would be by the blood of Christ that she will be saved. Are you getting this? And so, this was God preaching about his lamb. So, as you can see, all of this was preached to humanity in diverse manners, shadows and typologies. But in the new covenant, God preached through his son. All of these things that we just talked about were pointing to Jesus Christ. And so, when Abraham and his son were going up the hill to make the sacrifice unto God, and Isaac asked, Daddy, I see wood. I see knife. I see lighter. I see fuel. Where is the lamb? Are you following me? And Abraham, just trying to pacify the young boy's curiosity, said, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Do you realize that, I believe that that lamb was not the lamb that was in the ticket. The lamb that Abraham was really and truly speaking about was the day that Jesus was on his way to coming for baptism. And John looked at him and said, behold the lamb of God. Are you getting this? So the lamb that God eventually provided was not just that one caught in the ticket. It was the lamb of God that Jesus came to be. Are you getting this? So we see in John chapter 1 from verse 29. John 1 verse 29. John chapter 1 verse 29. Remember John the Baptist, the last prophet of the old covenant. John 1 verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Glory. So now, the Jews have been hearing that lamb, 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 lamb. They've even been slaughtering lambs, but they didn't really understand what's going on. They were just killing the lambs, just doing. Praise the Lord. All their lives, they offered lambs. There is something I want to teach, but let me try it. Let me see if people will get it. If his sleep was catching you now. So now, how many of you know that the Passover feast, what they call the feast of Passover, are you following me? That feast of Passover, when they killed the lamb and put the blood on the litter, the people inside will actually eat. That night, when the angel of death was moving, the Lord told them, before you sleep, you will take unleavened bread. You will take a cup of wine and you eat it like this. Are you getting this? Interestingly, that unleavened bread, they were supposed to divide it into three parts. And eat only the middle. Symbolizing that you are going to eat the work of the Son. You will leave the one of the Father and the Spirit. And let me leave you alone. You may be looking at me. But well, where I'm going to is that because of what happened that night, they were so thankful to God, and God now said, this will be an ordinance in the land of Israel. Every year, when they get to that time of Passover, when they get to that time of Passover, they are going to do that Passover feast and eat. And every time they eat, they will also take the lamb and kill. When Jesus came, before he went to the cross, it was the same season of Passover. That eating and drinking that he did in Matthew 26 was actually his own Passover. Then he told them, as often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me. The problem is, do you remember somebody who is alive? You only do remembrance for somebody who is dead. So now, what was really happening? He was saying, all the while you have been eating and drinking this thing, you were pointing to me. It's just, will people get it? You are getting it in Jesus' name.
Let me stay here. Praise the Lord. That's why it was called the Last Supper, because that was the actual Last Supper. This was the final lamb. They had been killing lambs since, so all that lamb was different. Oh my God. This was not just a lamb that they would kill for the usual yearly Passover. This was the last Lamb of God. Are you getting this? Okay. So Jesus is the Lamb. Can you say after me, Jesus is the Lamb? Say it again, Jesus is the Lamb. And if you're wondering what makes him to be the Lamb, first of all, he's the Lamb of God. God sent him. He's the actual Lamb of God, not the one that was found in the tickets, not the one that was bought at the sheep market, not the one that Abdul was selling. Are you with me? Not the one that Okafor was selling. This is the Lamb of God, the one that God sent. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, people look at that scripture and say, for God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son. He's not just talking about intensity, but intention. This was how God proved that he loved the world. He gave his son. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is the Lamb of God because he came from God. God provided him for us. Number two, the Lamb was spotless. And the Bible says that he was in all points tempted yet without sin. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. If it's with you on your Bible, if you can see it on your Bible, read with me. Because I saw the way some of you are looking at me. The pastor is just... First Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. First Peter 1 from verse 18. One, two, three, go. Start again. One, two, three, go. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Glory! Are you seeing this? So now, remember when we read in Leviticus that the lamb must be without spot. Jesus was that actual lamb without spot. He was that actual lamb without spot. And finally, he was the Lamb of God because the Lamb of God must be offered once and for all. So he must have eternal life in himself. He must be offered once and for all. Hebrews 10 verse 11 to 12. 11 to 14, please. Hebrews 10 from verse 11 to verse 14. It says, and every priest, now talking about what was happening in the Old Testament, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, that means as long as this lamb was not the true Lamb of God, everything they were doing, was not actually taking away sins. It was just, you know, people who do tech. When you are building a website, there's something called placeholders, right? You use it to fill in the gap until when the real thing is set and you put it there. Are you getting this? Where are my tech people in this place? Raise your hand. Let me, do you get what I'm saying? So you just put placeholders. And so someone can come there, look at those things. He understands what you are doing by the placeholders, but he cannot get the actual product from that website with the placeholders. Are you getting this? This is what was happening.
When God was doing all he did in the Old Testament, he was showing his plan. But you cannot get the fullness of his plan from the placeholder. Are you getting this? You must come to the actual thing. So the temple, all the killing of the lambs, everything they were doing was nothing but a pointer to the actual Lamb of God. That means all the sins they talked about that they were dealing with or covering or being purged in the Old Testament were not actually purged. They were not actually purged. It was just covered for that period. It was just covered for that period. It was just covered for that period. But when they came to Jesus, he purged everything away. I pray for you. You have understanding in Jesus' name. Well, Hebrews 10 verse 11. It says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, this same man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Are you with me? Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Let me tell you something. In the doctrine of the Christian faith, everything is connected to the redemptive work of Christ. So now you are seeing that the subject of dominion is because your sins have been purged. The day your sins have been purged, you have a high priest who is seated in heaven, who has dominion, that from that day, the only expectation is that your enemies will be his footstool. The man outside there whose sins are not being purged, he cannot be expecting that all his enemies will be his footstool. Are you getting this? He cannot expect that. That cannot be his expectation, but the one who is seated with Christ. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. It says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. So by the offering of Christ, that Lamb of God, as the perfect Lamb, that one offering becomes sufficient enough for all time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Yes, some of you are looking at me. You know what I'm doing? I am trying to do what you can call a scale up in revelation. It's not easy, but it's worth it. You need to grow. Praise God. You need to grow. So, what are the implications of this lamp? So now, Pastor, I get it. Jesus is the Lamb of God. His offering is perfect. So, how does that affect me? I want to show you. Number one, substitution. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 18. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Read it again. It says, for Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Remember, a spotless lamb. Do you know what is going on here? Why does it have to be the just for the unjust? See, there is no blessing when an evil man dies for an evil man. Are you getting me? There is no blessing because they are both evil. Nobody has anything to benefit from each other. They are both evil. But when a righteous man dies, who will get the blessings of his righteousness? When a righteous man is taking the place of a sinful man, what is happening there is a divine exchange. He's taking your sin that you will take his righteousness. He's taking your pain so you will take his glory. He's taking your shame so you will take his beauty. Are you with me? So all that is happening is that everything that became of you by sin, I have collected it. Everything I had by righteousness belongs to you. So just the same way, Isaac would have died that day. Isaac would have died straight. But now, because a lamb has taken his place, he's going home free. Let me tell you something. If you understand this, they said, oh, my family, we have the national causes. They said this is my family. That person that has all those things, Christ has taken that person's place. The only reality that is left for me now is the one that Christ has. Remember what we are reading on Sunday. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Are you getting this? Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So now, he took your life so that you will have his life. He took your sins so that you have his glory. Are you getting this? For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. So substitution. What will happen to you every day if you wake up with the consciousness that the life I have is the reflection of the life of Christ? The life I have is the life of Christ. My earthly human normal life has been taken away. Are you getting this? All that. Now, see, let me tell you, with this alone, already, can I tell you something? You can't properly exegete from the New Testament that the Christian is going to hell. Because by substitution, he has taken my place in death. That was why he went to hell. So he died for me and descended into the lower parts of hell that I will no longer have to go there. So, are you getting this? So after me, Christ is my substitute. The Lamb of God has become my substitute. Glory. Number two, peace with God. The wrath of God has been appeased. So now, let me come down to really explain this. The wrath of God has been appeased. So we have peace with God. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 2. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 2. It says, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not, because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Then in verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Let me explain. You know, we've been saying propitiation, and I usually say payment, right? I want to really break it down. It's more than just payment. Let me break it down. So, in those days, when they served idols and gods, something can happen and the God will be angry. Are you following me? And that spirit being will be angry. And then if you have watched all those old Nigerian movies, they will say, the gods are angry. What are we going to do to appease the gods? Are you getting this? That thing they will do to appease the gods is propitiation. They say, we need 7 heads of freshly newborn lions. Now, the thing about propitiation is that you cannot assume propitiation. You must know exactly what will appease that being. Are you getting this? For that being to look upon you with favor, you must know exactly what will appease that being. Are you getting this? So many times, the best way to get the propitiation is you must have gotten information from that being, what will appease the being. You cannot just assume that, okay, this is what to make the God not angry or the deity not angry. You can bring kola nut and that's why he will kill you more. You can bring cowries and he will send you away. And all kinds of, you may even go there, live there with a curse. He's saying that Jesus is the propitiation. That by the time the Lamb of God was sacrificed, all of the wrath of God canceled. That when the wrath of God came, God looked at us,
So he does not look at you and say, you, this one, I want to destroy you. When he wants to, when the devil is trying to make reasons why God should strike you, he sees the blood. Ah, no, that's my person. Let me give another instance. Let's assume this instance, Kai, you will get it. If you lived in a house, of a very interesting father and mother, you will understand what I want to say. Imagine your father, is that kind of person that he can easily get angry. But there's a kind of food that if you cook for him, are you getting me? There's a kind of food. Then your dad and your mom, they had an argument and he was angry. Or maybe your mom did something that made him very angry. Your mom did something that made your father very angry. That kind of man. Amen. And he was very angry. And he was fuming in the house. And then your mom knows that, you want to calm this man down? Get this food for him. And so, she has thought of what to do. She goes to the market, arranges the food, cooks it somewhere else. As she's coming back, she just opens the door, opens the pot, going like this. As he smells this thing, he's coming out and say, you this woman. This woman, you know I love you. He said, come, you know, you are my only jollof. You know, before you know what's happening, he's looking at you, and before you know, all the anger quenched. Let me bring another example. You know, there are some of you, you can have an issue with a person, but there is something you do for the person. When the person now looks at you, he cannot but see you with the eyes of love. Say, this person did this thing for me. You see, I've not even said things like this. Because of this thing you did done for me, all your wrongs are hereby canceled. All your wrongs are hereby canceled. He's saying that because of what Christ did, when God looks at us, all your wrongs are canceled. Are you with me? He looks at you like this. Maybe you made a mistake and the blood has appeased. Canceled. He looks at you, he just says, love. No, I love them. They are my people. So he's telling you that Jesus Christ, as that Lamb of God, is the propitiation. Hey, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Do you know what this implies? God is not looking at you thinking the worst of you. No matter what has happened, God is not looking at you thinking the worst of you. So now, when he has been appeased and he looks at you struggling, he says, we can do something about her. She can become better. He can become better. Then there is something that is also activated. We'll talk about it in our sermon. Because of that love, he goes into what is called the intercessory ministry. He begins to pray for you, and that prayer will begin to send ministry to you. So, when a person is struggling to grow spiritually, struggling with a habit, struggling with sin, and this one has already believed in Christ, God now begins to send men of God to draw him. He does not understand why he's brought to Abuja and somehow he passes Silver Bed. Are you getting what is happening? A friend invites him because he has believed and this one is my child. I cannot look at him with wrath. What can we do? We will help him. So after me, he's my propitiation. Glory. I am forgiven. I am loved of God. I am the blessed of God. Sometimes God loves me. God's lamb satisfied his wrath completely. So there is no longer enmity left between God and man. That's why when the blood of Christ dropped on the ground on the earth, and Jesus said, it is finished. The curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom. Do you know what is happening? You know, if he tore from bottom to top, you say he's a man. But when he tore from top to bottom, it was God saying, it's time for me to meet my children. Are you with me? No more veil again. No more limitation.
I am my children weak. Are you with me? No more hindrance. The middle of partition has been broken down. Listen. See. You wake up in the morning, feeling that God is far from you. No, that's your feeling. He has broken down the middle wall of partition. Are you with me? All the wrath against you has been canceled. Well, let's move on and round up. And finally, this Lamb of God has activated an ecosystem of blessings. An ecosystem of blessings. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5. Jesus. From verse 9, the Bible says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people and nation. You know, my God. Remember when I said, when the blood was put on the lintel for the Israelites, that means it was no longer by what tribe are you from. It is, do you have faith in the blood? Out of every tongue and every kindred and nation and people, verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Same with a loud voice. Everybody read verse 12, 1 to 3, go. Same with a loud voice. What is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing? Guess what? Has the Lamb been slain? Wait, has the Lamb been slain? That means he has received this. Remember on Sunday, we said we are one with Christ. That means when he was receiving it, who received it? What is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor, power, riches, glory? Are you getting this? We have come into, in the old covenant, they had a lamb of 1 year that will cover them for 1 year. That was a subscription time. Don't think you are the one that invented subscription. It began a long time. Well, after 1 year, you go and renew again with another lamb. But this one, the subscription of this lamb, the blood is forever. So by the time he died and offered up that blood, forever you are covered. Hey. Let me explain more. See. You know, we've been talking about different blessings, but there is one that touches me the most. You see that thing called Passover? Oh my God. My God. You see that thing called Passover? That means when the plagues are going on in the world, by the time the plague gets to your door, there is a blood over you. When every person says, in this country we are struggling. No, you don't know where you are. I'm covered by the blood. yeah. Whenever struggles wants to hit the nation, when it gets to you, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I'm covered by the blood. When they say, in this place nobody prospers, oh no. When that's demons of stagnation, demons of limitation, demons of manipulation, when it gets to me, I am covered by the blood. Do you know what this means? It means even when things do not seem to be working, it must always work for me. There is something underneath in my DNA. Are you with me? There is something in my spiritual DNA always working for me. I cannot be attacked by the devil. I am not of, no wonder he says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. They were in Egypt, but they were not of Egypt. Do you realize that even when the plagues were happening to every other person, Israel were still multiplying? Trump on your feet. Some of them, I'm covered by the blood. It's called divine exemption. Say after me, I am divinely exempted. When you go somewhere and you apply for a job and they bounce you, before you start crying, declare, I'm a child of the covenant. It means that that thing that is happening to other people, it cannot be your own story. You are exempted. Are you with me?
I am a child of the, say after me, I'm a child of the covenant. The lamb has been slain for me. I am secured by the blood. I am under the protection of the blood. I am exempted by the blood of the lamb. I have peace with God. Glory! Begin to exalt him right now. The blood of the lamb has launched us into an ecosystem of blessings. When one door closes, I know that another door must open for me. This is the gospel. He has taken my place. He's my substitute. He's my substitute. The price for my freedom has been paid. God looks at me with the eyes of love.